What do immigration policy and impeachment have to do with one another? Find out next on today's Principles and Policies. Hello, I'm your host today, Chuck Michaelis, Vice Chairman of the Institute for Principal Policy and the Executive Director of Camp American. Usually, I'm the co-host of this program, but unfortunately, or really fortunately, Barry Sheets is tied up at his church's General Assembly. He's a member of the Presbyterian Church in America, and they have their General Assembly. He is a delegate, and they are working on some very important matters. So honestly, they need prayer down there at the PCA General Assembly. Pray for them, please. Today, we're going to be discussing some things that are standing out in the news, and that is the executive order issued last Friday by President Obama, in which he said basically he was going to do Congress's job for it and assume that an act that was before it had been passed, and he was going to treat it as if it was passed. In other words, he was going to stop enforcing existing immigration law and give de facto immunity, and by de facto, I mean just to give them the immunity without the benefit of having a law passed, to people under the age of 30. Well, we're going to talk about that 30 and under thing here in a moment, because it's important not so much to the law itself. It has more to do with his reelection than anything else. This is a cynical attempt to get people to be able to vote. Now, let's not kid ourselves. The fact that they're being given immunity does not give them citizenship, meaning that they still don't have the right to vote. Nonetheless, there are any number of ways to register to vote when you're not a citizen. And if you don't know that, then unfortunately, you need to get up to speed with the current policies and the current laws in the United States of America. When you go in and register your car or get a new driver's license, one of the first questions you're asked is, would you like to register to vote? That is a federal law called Motor Voter. And the fact is, they will ask you if you're a citizen of the United States, but you are not required to provide any proof. So in other words, you can go in and say, yes, I'd like to register to vote, and lie and say, yes, I'm a citizen of the United States, and voila, you are registered to vote. Now, are we saying that that particular law has had any kind of an effect at all? Yes, we are saying that. In the mid-90s, one of the first victims of motor voter and voter fraud with illegal immigrants voting was in the Orange County district of a guy named Bob Dornan. He was also known as B1 Bob Dornan because Bob Dornan had carried the legislation through Congress to get the B1 bomber built after Jimmy Carter actually killed the program in the late 70s. So in the mid-90s, Bob Dornan lost his seat to Loretta Sanchez, a Democrat, who had massive numbers of illegal immigrants sign up under Motor Voter and vote fraudulently. There's no question about this. She maintains her seat, I'm assuming using the same tactics. And we know this is going on because right now Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, is threatening to sue Florida because Florida is busy purging its voter rolls of dead people and illegal immigrants who should not be voting. And the Justice Department is threatening to sue them over this. And Florida has said, well, you go right ahead and sue. We're still going to get rid of people who should not be on the voter rolls. So it's becoming clear that the Department of Justice is behind the president's efforts to step up this kind of thing and get fraudulent votes. I'm going to be right up front with you. The Democrats would like to keep the president in, and they will do anything in their power, pull out all the stops, and that includes give amnesty to illegal immigrants who are under the age of 30, who they know will be registering illegally and voting for them. This is a sad state of affairs, ladies and gentlemen, but that's not what we're talking about. We're going to talk about impeachment and why the issuance of this executive order is a high crime. In other words, it is one of the crimes that can lead to impeachment. Now, we're going to talk about that section of the Constitution, which is Article 2. And Article 2 is very clear that, I'm going to quote here, the President, the Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, you might say to yourself, well, the president has the right to issue executive orders. Yes, he does. The president does have the right to issue executive orders, but They do not have the effect of law on the United States of America. In other words, he can issue executive orders, and what it is for is to aid in his enforcement of existing law. The president is not permitted to make law by executive order. Now, they do it all the time. Presidents have been usurping congressional authority for decades. I mean, a very long time. One of the kings of this was Theodore Roosevelt, and you'll hear some of us say we're not really big fans of Theodore Roosevelt. That's why. Theodore Roosevelt would simply do things. He'd say, this is for the greater good of the country, and you'll hear that phrase a lot out of the current president. This is for the greater good of the country, and therefore I'm issuing an executive order. As if he had the power constitutionally to do so. He does not. All legislative authority is vested in a Congress of the United States. That's Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution. That means that laws can only be made by Congress, not by executive fiat or by the courts. And the courts have been known to indulge in a little bit of lawmaking. Let's take into example Roe versus Wade. Let's take, for example, busing, school busing, which turned out to be such an abject failure in the late 70s and 80s, has now been largely abandoned by the federal judiciary because it doesn't work. And it was a gross failure, and basically all it did was hollow out the cities of the United States and send everybody out scurrying to the suburbs. Okay, I used the word there, usurpation. What does usurpation mean? What does it mean that the president has usurped congressional authority? Okay, someone who is a usurper has assumed authority that he does not have and assumed a power that he does not have unto himself simply on his own decision. That is a usurpation. And the president of the United States in this case has done so. Now, to show you that the president of the United States does not have the authority to have anything to do other than enforce immigration law that the Congress has passed, let me give you a quote from Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution, which gives exclusive power over immigration policy to Congress. This is clause, the Congress shall have power to, and then we go dot, 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 establish an uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. Okay, skip the bankruptcy part. Uniform rules of naturalization. In other words, immigration policy, how to become a United States citizen, and how we're going to regulate immigration to the United States is in the hands of Congress according to Article 1, Section 8. What President Obama has done with his issuance of this executive order is simply bypassed Congress, because Congress will not do what he wants them to do. He said, okay, for the greater good, which is in real question to begin with, I am going to assume that the DREAM Act, and you can look up the DREAM Act. The DREAM Act is a mess. It basically says anybody that's been here can stay here. And it doesn't matter how you got here, if you came illegally, if you came legally. Legally, people don't have a problem. They have all the paperwork. They've done everything the right way. They've worked hard. They've done everything they were supposed to do. And they are on their way to citizenship by their own efforts rather than by being given this gift from on high from the Obama administration. And therefore, do not tar with the same brush. But we've got a lot of illegals here who basically just said, I'm coming across the border, I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, look, I'm not questioning the fact that some of these people are starving in their home countries and they're not doing well. That's not the fault of the United States of America. That doesn't mean that everybody in the world can simply fly here or walk here or take a boat here and suddenly be handed amnesty. We have a number of people who come across the border in search of our welfare system, which is rapidly becoming European insofar as basically anybody who doesn't want to work can get on a dole system. They can get a check from the government, move into a government housing project, pay $12 a month for an apartment, which very often ends up being trashed because, let's face it, when you don't pay for something, you don't care for it. The reason that nice neighborhoods remain nice is because there's ownership and people want to maintain the value of their property. When you're not paying anything for something, you tend to abuse it. And therefore, that's why we have people who are coming into the country, why housing projects basically get put up and then they become burned out hulks inside of 30 years. When you've got people squatting in them and living by campfires, and you know they break in once the buildings have become so trashed they no longer meet code, people go ahead and break in them and live in them and camp in them. If you've ever been on the south side of Chicago, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These big, tall buildings that are full of squatters because they're closed down government housing projects and people have broken in and burned them out and done all kinds of nasty things to them. Why can the president be impeached for this breach? Well, okay, let's look at his oath of office. That's an important consideration here. Now, remember that the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. Okay, what is the executive power? The executive power is the duty to enforce the laws that Congress passes. Is the president doing that? Obviously not. The president has said openly by the signing, he has convicted himself of this crime by signing an executive order which says he will not enforce existing law. Now, can a president refuse to enforce law? Well, let's look at his oath of office. Before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That last part, he's going to the best of his ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That means that he is supposed to obey it. Can a president refuse to implement a law of Congress? Well, this is an important part of the checks and balances in the system. Can the president refuse? First of all, he can veto a law, or he can sign it, or he can allow it to pass into law without his signature. In any case, he has some input into the law. Let's say the Congress passes an unconstitutional law, and the president deems it as such. Is he duty-bound to enforce it? Well, if he believes truly that it is unconstitutional, then no. But what that is supposed to do is ignite a constitutional crisis in which Congress is supposed to take a look and say, you are thwarting our will. We are going to examine that. We are going to bring up, and this is the House of Representatives who indicts a president. We are going to indict you for an impeachable offense, and that is failing to uphold your oath and obey the Constitution and enforce the laws of the United States of America. That crisis, then, the House is supposed to hold hearings on this motion to impeach the president to gather evidence. Now, if they vote the articles of impeachment, if they vote in the affirmative, then the House of Representatives' job is done. They send it over to the Senate, where he would then be tried as an impeached president. We would say he has already been impeached, but now he has to go to trial, because impeachment means questioning. And the impeachment means he is being questioned. Now he has to go to the Senate for trial, where the senators sit in judgment of the president, with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court being the presiding officer. Is that going to happen in this case? It is not. And for reasons that maybe we'll go into in a later show, it won't happen. There are many political considerations for why it will not happen. But the fact is, that is why what the President of the United States has done on immigration, in this case, is an impeachable offense. He is in violation of the United States Constitution. He is in violation of his oath of office. And he is in violation of the laws of the United States of America. Remember that the Constitution is the highest law of the land, and the president is bound to obey it. He cannot look to his own will and whim and he cannot simply get out of it by making appeals to democracy. The fact is that he is bound by the laws of the United States of America, and the highest law of the land is the Constitution, according to Article 6 of the Constitution. We're out of time for today, so join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.